May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You see. It's been said that if we could truly see ourselves as seen in God's eyes, then walking down the street, we would find it hard to see each other, for surrounding each of us are cherubim and seraphim, waving banners and proclaiming, "Make way! Make way for one made in the image of God." Now, before we dismiss this image as too fanciful, let's see how this plays out in the light of today's gospel. Now, unlike Matthew and Luke, John doesn't offer us a narrative of our Lord's birth. John is not content to let us believe that Jesus' story begins with a miraculous birth in a small Palestinian village, nor even with the preaching of John the Baptist along the Jordan River. No, for John, the proper place to start Jesus' story is in the beginning, quote unquote, with the mysterious word that was, quote, with God, end quote, was God. The poetic beginning of John's gospel makes it clear that this word is God's own self, made external through what God says and does. But this raises an important question. How can that glory, that is God's alone, become visible in the Word made flesh? When the Word, God's very self, becomes flesh and blood, bone and tissue, sweat and tears, is this glory still visible? We are not accustomed to expecting much glory in the frail and transient lives of us human beings. Glory is, in our eyes, reserved for that aura of the divine presence which we feeble humans are seldom privileged to experience. We know that it happens. It has happened before. But it seems like it happened long ago to people very different from ourselves. The unexpected opening of the Red Sea before the fleeing Hebrew slaves, the vision of our Lord on the Mount of the Transfiguration with two of the most important figures in the Old Testament, or the raising of a victim of a crucifixion from his grave. All these are experiences of glory that we know about and have come to think are not for the likes of us in our everyday mundane lives. But John's poem says something very different. John says, it is not in such phenomenal visitations that the divine glory is seen. Instead, it's in a human being who mysteriously is the union of the divine and the human. The union of this world and the one to come. God's presence, God's glory, is experienced in a single human creature in this world, in this history, with all its limitations. The divine word once became flesh and blood and moved among human beings during a period of history long past. But John's provocative gospel goes on to claim that the glory seen in Jesus continues to take on human form within the circle of those marked by the sign of the cross. In his final prayer, just before his passion, Jesus intercedes on behalf of his followers and says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them." The glory that those first Christians came to see in their Christ continues to be visible in fleshly form in the Christian community. What this says is that Christ may appear to us in unlikely people and at unseemly times. The divine glory may transform our ordinary daily experiences into something quite extraordinary. The simple, explainable world we would like to inhabit may suddenly be permeated with the mysterious and the inexplicable. The Christ who became human, born among the lowly likes of you and me, evokes from us what I call a mighty blink. And having been made to blink in amazement at the Christmas event, we never see again in quite the same way. The baptismal water becomes the cleansing love of God that washes away our brokenness in a mighty stream whose pool carries us into a new family as children of God. The Eucharistic bread and wine, no longer simple products of grain and grape, become the nourishment of grace and love from the very human body and blood of our Lord. The words of good news are no longer heard by us as the sound produced by the vocal cords of another human being, but as God's unbreakable promise of salvation. Toward the end of this morning's gospel, John writes, "And we have seen his glory, that's a promise to us that you and I shall continue to see this glory. Again and again, within the circle of those who have blinked and have been made to see anew. See this child born in humble beginnings and behold the glory of God. But also look at those sitting around you, those sitting behind you and those sitting in front of you and those on the other side. Behold there the glory of God as well. For each of us truly is surrounded by seraphim and cherubim, proclaiming the presence of God in God's children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.